Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. What does the future hold? Maybe a lot more than we've bargained for, according to our guest, Ray Kurzweil. He is an inventor and futurist. He believes we may well produce computers that are intellectually equal to humans in as few as 40 years. Mr. Kurzweil wants us to be thinking about what that means now. Fundamental issues are at stake here, he says, not just what does it mean to be human, but what does it mean to be conscious?
There's going to be a basic disagreement. Some people say, no, you've got to be a biological human or you can't be conscious. Just as people today say, you have to understand human language or you can't be conscious and therefore animals aren't conscious. And it's not a resolvable issue. But this issue of consciousness is different from the issue of just creating a human-level entity.
Ray Kurzweil is known for the startling ideas he first offered in his book, The Age of Intelligent Machines. In its sequel, The Age of Spiritual Machines, Mr. Kurzweil calls us to consider what happens when computers exceed human intelligence. Mr. Kurzweil continues to push out technology's boundaries with his inventions. They include reading machines for the blind, music synthesizers used by Stevie Wonder and many other musicians, and speech recognition technology. He has been awarded Carnegie Mellon's Top Science Prize. MIT named him Inventor of the Year in the late 80s, and he has 9 honorary degrees. 2 U.S. presidents have honored him for his work. Bill Russell and I wanted to know more about Mr. Kurzweil's vision of our collective future, so we went to visit him at his technology company on Boston's famous Route 128. Ray Kurzweil, I have the great pleasure in my life of having known a number of people who lived to be in their late 90s, into their hundreds, really, really old. They were old friends, but they were old friends. It has always interested me to look back at their lives over the course of really extended experience. And as I thought my way toward this conversation, I thought, you know, maybe looking back that 100 years will inform looking forward 100 years. But I don't think so. What's changed?
Well, one thing that's constant is acceleration of technology and of change. Hundreds of years ago, people really didn't understand that technology was changing at all and that society would change as a result because they lived the same lives as their grandparents and they expected their grandchildren to do the same. We now understand that society changes in profound ways due to technological change and that change is a constant, but what is not really appreciated is that the pace of change is accelerating. And I've actually modeled this in more precise terms. It's more than just an idle observation. I became a student of technology trends, kind of an outgrowth of being an inventor. And right now, the pace of change is doubling every 10 years. And in some technologies, the actual power of those technologies doubles every 1 year. And so in the next 25 years, we'll make 100 years of progress at today's rate of progress. And I mean, this comes up in a lot of context. I had a debate recently at Harvard with Bill Joy about dangers of technology, and one Nobel Prize winning biologist said, oh, we're not going to see self-replicating nanotechnology entities for 100 years. And I said, that's actually a good estimate of the amount of technical progress needed to achieve that technical milestone at today's rate of progress. But we'll make 100 years of progress at today's rate of progress in 25 years. And the last 100 years was not 100 years of progress at today's rate of progress because we've been accelerating up to this point. It's actually about 25 years of progress at today's rate. So we'll actually make 4 times as much change in the next 25 years as we did in the last century.
My very first question as you say that is, can we stand that? Don't you get psychological whiplash changing that fast?
Or burnout.
Well, yes and no. Part of what the acceleration is doing is that technology is getting closer to us and becoming more like us. It doesn't require people to become engineers. Quite on the contrary. I mean, if you think about the first computers, they were behind glass walls in air-conditioned rooms and tended
and
by white-coated technicians, and you had to be an engineer to interface with them. Then we had the personal computing revolution, so a computer, still somewhat hard to use, was on your desk, and then the graphical user interface was a bit easier. And then we had notebook computers we could carry around, take on an airplane, and now we have computers that we put in our pockets. And the next stage is going to be computers that are sort of embedded in our clothing and our environment and write images directly to our retinas and present us with virtual personalities that look human, can understand human language. And ultimately, there won't be much distinction between people and computers.
You do make a case that personal computers get very personal.
Well, we are getting more intimate with our technology. We're already very dependent on it. I mean, if all the computers in the world stopped today, as people thought they might on January 1st, 2000, civilization would grind to a halt. You couldn't get money from your bank. No transportation would work. Communication would come to a halt, etc. That wasn't true as recently as 30 years ago. So it's not the case, oh, well, it's always been like that. 30 years ago, if all the computers stopped, a few professors would have been frustrated not getting their research results back. But we've become very dependent on technology. We have today what I call narrow AI, which is artificial intelligence that can perform functions, intelligent functions that used to require adult human intelligence. And there are hundreds of examples of that, and they're deeply embedded in our society, everything from making medical diagnoses and automatically diagnosing blood cell images, guiding cruise missiles, making financial investment decisions. There's $1 trillion of funds that are where the decisions of how to invest them are made by sophisticated computer programs. And I could go on with a very long list of these. And they're deeply embedded in our civilization, making more and more intelligent decisions. And they're ultimately going to become very close to us. We're going to be communicating in virtual reality environments that'll become very competitive with the real thing. And our relationship to technology will get more and more intimate.
This is Ray Kurzweil. He's with Bill Russell and me here in Boston, actually on the famous Route 128. We're all going to be back in just a moment. Please stay with us.